What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, it's your boy Caleb, and we are going to break down another NBA slate coming up tomorrow, as well as talk about what went down today. But before we even do that, man, like we got to talk. We are reeling right now. An 0-3 day on the backs of a 1-3 day with the Mavs saving us yesterday. We're struggling. We've got to find a way to get right. We've got to grind through this, but it is not fun. It is not fun to lose bets at the rate that we have been losing bets before. And I will say I've been profitable in the regular season the past 3-4 years. Sometimes it's you sit at 12 units, sometimes it pushes up to 20. My goal, and again, I'm really just playing straights. My goal is as I continue to do this year after year after year, is I get better and better, find what I like, narrow it in even more, and I'm making 40, 50 units a season. We're not there yet, but we can generally, I feel like, all right, whether it's 10 to 30, okay, we'd love 30, whether it's 10 to 20 to 25, we're making profit. Postseason, I haven't always been able to figure it out. And again, my capping style is more so, and there's a lot of different cappers that are successful in a lot of different ways. But for me, I think that my niche is just like I watch a shit ton of basketball. I know these teams. I know these players. I know these coaches. And over the course of the regular season, you just find pockets of opportunity. The playoffs are so damn tough, though, because it's not like in football, it's one game. It is one game. You have your read. You throw your best shot out there. One game. There may be adjustments within games, sure, right? But it's one game. In baseball, it's a series still, but each game is so heavy, the price is so heavily influenced by the starting pitchers, which I understand, right? Because each starting pitcher is completely different. With basketball, you don't always know the adjustments that are going to be made, and you may have like, hey, this is the right adjustment, and the coach might not do it. Or you just, obviously, the more common thing is, you just don't know how each team is going to approach things. And so each game, it's like you're playing this. Because in the regular season, when a team loses or gets blown out, you like them the next game, right? And I feel like there's just a lot of overthinking, at least on my end, between like, and honestly, I haven't even overthought. I've just played what I've liked. But you can view things from two different lenses. In one lens where it's like, all right, this shit just happened. You're playing another game in the same place with the same teams, with the same coaches. Are you really going to deviate that much from what happened last game? Or you can go, okay, this just happened. Something different is bound to happen again. And it feels like you never know which side of the coin you're going to get, right? Like, and you have so many different ways in which it goes down, and examples where, like, you know, game one, the Bucks blow out the Pacers. They look completely better, dominant. Pacers look like they are like, we don't know what the fuck's going on. Pacers come out and blow out the Bucks in game two. The Suns get their ass kicked game one, same vibe, same thing as with the Pacers Bucks, and they get their ass kicked again. Pelicans grind game one, we're right there, almost win the game. Game two, the line comes out 7.5 instead of 9.5. Thunder blow them the hell out. Miami is down 30 in the fourth, game one. Come in today to Boston and win the game. So it's just a ton of variance, and a lot of it too is just basketball is, I feel like, a very variant sport within shot making. And again, I will not, like, this is not a free pass to just say, oh, we lost a bet, variance, shot, they made shots like that. No, I mean, a lot of times there's a definite correlation between shot making and the quality of the looks. Absolutely. But that's my little, not even a rant, just like this is a tough ass puzzle to figure out night after night. And I think, at least for me, I'm still going to go through everything and talk through it. But I think I got to pull the reins back a little bit, just in terms of the pure volume. And in the past, I've done that. I've been a little bit less volume heavy in the playoffs, because it's the playoffs and lines are tighter and all the shit that we've talked about. But now that I'm recording every single day and breaking down every single slate, I can't help myself. But we're gonna have to learn. We're gonna continue to learn. We'll get into the games today, and we can specifically talk about the bets. We're on the unders in both games. And look, they lost. They both lost by 6-7 points to the over. But I'm not sitting here pressing the panic button in terms of unders are no longer profitable. You look, the Miami Heat set a franchise record for most threes in a playoff game, right? And it I'm not going to say barely, but it was not over till like 3 minutes left in the game, 2 minutes left in the game, and it finished like, I think, 10 or so points over, right? And you got a literally a historic shooting performance from Miami. And granted, part of what Boston does defensively is kind of invite you to shoot some threes and invite guys who are maybe not the most knockdown shooters to shoot threes. But it fucking burned them tonight, right? And it burned us as a result. And then we get Pels. The Thunder absolutely railed threes to start. And then I think that just made the Pelicans panic a little bit. Now they start closing to guys where now they're pumping, getting downhill. And then the rest of their defense just suffered. There was a little bit of poutiness to the Pelicans tonight. Not like outwardly. No, it was outward. It wasn't like this. I when I say poutiness, I just mean it was like, oh, Wolf, their body language screamed, oh, fuck, they're just making shots, nothing we can do, instead of grinding and digging in a little bit more. And obviously, that's easy for me to say, but we've all Thunder, that over went over with like a minute 30 left on some Aaron Wiggins free throws, and the Thunder railed everything. They put up 120. I think that's the highest a team's put up in the playoffs this year so far. So took L's there, and the Pelicans were just the wrong call. Pelicans was just the wrong call. Thunder were absolutely ready to go. And I think this is what good teams do. It's what good coaches do. It's what good cultures do. But they respond. And you can, it is okay to admit when you don't have your best performance, even in a win. And they got after it tonight. And I think you saw that where it was like, hey, we're not satisfied with just beating this Pelicans team by two. And props to them. They absolutely got it done. So 0-3 today brings us to 5-10. On the season and the playoffs, still up on the year from the regular season. Regular season, we made about 14 units, which still you would like to make more, but profit is profit. And again, we're going against professional line setters every single night. And you got to be locked in. And sometimes, even when you are locked in, you're going to fall short. And then there are obviously other times where, hey, that probably shouldn't have won, and it did. So it all generally evens out regardless. 0-3 night, and honestly, pretty deserving of an 0-3 night. We got three games tomorrow. Again, probably not gonna go too crazy with a volume, but we'll talk our way through this, man. And there are some things I definitely like. We might see sometimes. Also for me, again, one, I feel like this is obvious. Don't bet money you can't afford to lose. Right? Like betting should be fun. Betting should be. Obviously, you're trying to make money, but it also makes watching games, at least for me, way more entertaining, and it locks me in way more. But it should not get to a point where now you're betting, and obviously, stress is a part of it when you're betting, right? Like, I'm not saying you just have to, oh, I don't care what happens, but only bet what you can afford to lose. And for me, sometimes when I'm in a cold rut, it's okay to take a day off. Take a day or two off just to reset the mentals, get you back. But go through this. We got the first game of the day. Cavs back in Orlando. Cavs have thoroughly dominated the series. And here we go again is the age-old question of Cavs have thoroughly dominated the series so far. Do we trust our eyes? Or in this spot, do you turn towards the team that is going to be the desperate of all desperates? Who was really, really good at home, who've been generally all year really good in responding. I lean Magic. And I think the fact that this line is where it is, it tells me the books lean Magic as well, right? Like it would have been, you see in the Nuggets Lakers, right? Like and I think that is a telling sign. And again, I've talked about this a million times and I'm going to continue to do it in case there's someone new here. You're generally not making bets just based off of line movement and bet percentages and all that. I think it's a fun tool and it can kind of help add to a point, but it shouldn't be the sole point. But the point that I'm trying to make here is you think about how the Cavs Magic series has gone down and the Lakers Nuggets. The Nuggets won and covered 7 in the first game, but it was a competitive game. And then obviously everyone knows about the big collapse. The Lakers up 20 in the second half and lose on a Jamal Murray game-winning shot. Down 0-2. The Cavs Magic, it has not been a there's not been a real competitive moment in the second half in either of these games. They've been blowouts both games. And the Magic have, quote, brought it back in a couple in one of these, or maybe even two, where they get it to like 10 at the end, but like it was essentially decided already, and then the Magic make it look a little bit better. But they've been thoroughly dominated, right? Thoroughly dominated through two games. And yet the Magic are 2-point favorites at home, and the Lakers are a pick'em at home. And yes, the Lakers were bigger dogs on the road. But regardless, that's two teams with opposite results in terms of the way that they have lost. So the books do like the Magic tomorrow, and I do as well. I've liked this Magic team all year, and again, you've got to balance between like trusting your eyes, but also like not overreacting to two games, not overreacting to two results for a first-time playoff team on the road. And I just know you're getting the best performance and best version of the Magic tomorrow night at Amway Center. That place is going to be going fucking nuts. They've been great there all year. And this is a must-win game. This is the must-win of all must-win games, right? You lose this game, the series is over. This damn near is the same as a game set. It's not, but like it might as well be a game 7. If you lose this game, you are done. And so the Magic are going to bring absolutely everything they have. They're going to have the home crowd behind them the whole time, and shit, the Cavs still may get it done, but if I had to put my money somewhere, it's on Orlando. I would rather just take the money line -130, eat a little bit of juice. Again, you don't know heartbreak until you lose a -1 or a -1.5 on a 2-point win, or even a -1.5 and they win by one. So I wouldn't fuck around, just take the money line there. And then again, it continues to drop. I think game one total was 206.5. Last game was 203.5. Drop it 3 more points to 199. Neither of these games have cleared 200 points. And again, it can clear. Any of these games can clear at any moment. It just comes down to shooting. And we saw it today. Both games, the pace was slow. The pace was slow enough to get you there on the under. But in today's case, the Miami Heat railed threes. And the OKC Thunder rail threes. The Magic and Cavs don't have necessarily the three-point shooter. I guess the Cavs do kind of, but the Magic just don't have the three-point shooters to shoot at that level of volume. And in general, role players on the road don't shoot as well either. So I still like the under here. I like the under. I like the Magic. That's the way I'd be looking. They're probably my favorite looks of the day. And it remains to be seen if I'll take the day off or if I will run it in this spot. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm recording this late at night. Get a good night of sleep. Wouldn't be surprised if I'm back at it tomorrow. But for now, I'm not locking in anything yet. I will say in terms of props, we did the last prop that we cast was Gary Harris. And Gary Harris was over 1.5 +122. It's now over 1.5 -124, but I still like it. He's going to shoot better at home. He's going to get a couple looks from three. He's probably going to get 5 to 6 quality looks, and he's a quality 3-point shooter. Should be able to give you two. And shit, if you wanted to go 2.5 at some plus odds, that would have hit last game at home where he shoots it a little bit better as well. I don't hate that. If that's like a, I don't know, like I see some people doing little 3-point parlays. I think that's a good piece to put in there if you want to pick like two or three guys to hit, you know, 2 or 3 threes. All right, let's move forward to the Knicks Sixers. I'm very curious about this one because I have the Knicks series at -115. It was the only series that we played. And the Sixers come into this one as 4.5-point favorites, down 2-0 after, again, not getting necessarily the results they want, but playing really good basketball in New York. New York's up 2-0. Jalen Brunson hasn't played well. But the others have just really, really stepped up. And that's a big part of why I like them in this series. Is just I feel like they're a more complete basketball team, especially when you look at the fact that Joel Embiid is not healthy. But Tyrese Maxey and him are playing well. And I think at home, they probably, in a desperate spot, they probably win this game. 4.5 is pushing it a little bit, but I'd still lean Sixers in this game, right? This is a team that was the better team in game two, was the better team in a lot of stretches of game one. Now they come home in desperation mode, short spread at 4.5. And just mentally, right, if you're this Knicks team, it's not like you're coming into this not locked in. Like, these are some dogs over here for sure. They're gonna show up. But, like, just mentally, I feel like there's a little bit less, I don't know, like you don't need this one the way that Philly does. And so I think the desperation kicks in on top of the fact that Philly just still has the best player in the series, and Tyrese Maxey's at worst the third best player in the series. So two of the three best players. I think Philly gets this done tomorrow. I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be back and forth, but I think Philly ultimately wins this probably by, yeah, anywhere from 3 to 5, 3 to 6. And so at 4.5, yeah, this is probably a stay away. And then again, do not fault you if you want to go under. These games have been right around this mark in both these first games. First game, the over-under was at, let me pull it up, guys. First game, the over-under was sat at 208. Finished at 215, went over. But again, the books were like, we already know. Brought it back down to 205.5, hit right on the dot at 205, and they bring it down again to 201.5. And I think that's part of me thinks that, like, as a series goes on, you kind of get more comfortable, but part of me also thinks that it becomes more grindy. So 201 is low as hell. Like, it's just so hard to run unders back after getting burned on it twice today. So I don't know. I still lean the under here at 201.5, but 201.5 is really, really low. A team wins, 103-99, they cash the over, and that's a very, very low scoring game in this day and age. But I'll probably pass on this game. They'll just watch this one as an observer, root for the Knicks. Considering I have their series price. But it's going to be a grind. It's going to be a grind. And it really just comes down to, Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, right? Like, those two are just absolute monsters. Tyrese Maxey's played like an absolute monster and is just able to get so much space. Maybe not so much space, but just there's space because of the way that Embiid draws attention and help. Embiid with 6 assists in both the first two games. I'm going to check what his assist prop is at. If it's at 5.5, without too much crazy juice, I don't hate that. Let's see. Shit. 5.5 plus 110? Let me check the potential assists in the playoffs for Joel Embiid. Dun, dun. All right, let's see. Let's pull it up. All right, so potential assists. Last two games, playoffs. Loading it up. All right, let's see who's leading. Tyrese Halliburton with 20.5 potential assists per game. Joel Embiid, let's find the man. Right now, second, LeBron James, Jason Tatum with 16. Joel Embiid, where is Joel Embiid? I guess these motherfuckers are just being super, super efficient off his passes. 10. So, like, it looks like guys are just being really, really efficient off of his passes. But he's going to see attention. He's going to absolutely see attention, and it's got there both games, and it's plus 110. But again, these lines are basically set off of they're set off the potential assist. So they do have to be pretty efficient, but they have to this point. And this would have went over in both games. I don't hate that. That's probably the way I would look on a prop. Tyrese Maxey's is at 7. Don't hate that. 3-point field goals made. Tyrese is just letting it fly. Yeah, I got nothing else. Joel's the best look for me at potential assists. Or at actual assists at 6.5. 5.5, my fault. All right. Last game of the day is we're headed to LA and Denver. And I don't have a great read. I don't. I could see this going both ways, right? Like, on one hand, that was as soul-crushing a loss as you can have if you're the Lakers. As absolutely soul-crushing of a loss as you can have. And I wouldn't be shocked if, like, it's not like they're going to come into this game giving up. But at the same time, it's like, it has to operate in your mind. It has to at least be somewhat in the back of your mind. But they're playing great basketball. It's just like this team has lost 9 straight to the Nuggets at home, on the road. Like it hasn't mattered. The Nuggets find a way to win and have 9 straight times against this team. But if there was the game to win, it would have been last game. But if there was now, it's now. In a must-win game at home, I don't know. I lean Nuggets here for sure. I absolutely lean Nuggets here for sure. I don't know that I'm going to get there. And it should be a hell of a game to watch, but I absolutely – the only way I could look is the Nuggets. I'm trying to see Nikola Jokic, PRA. He had 57 last game in 41 minutes. He had – 51 in game. These are ridiculous. 50.5 PRA and you like the over. That's crazy. I'll probably stay away. But for me, the only way I could play this is Nuggets, guys. Like they've won 9 straight. They've won 9 straight. And could the Lakers do this? Absolutely. They're playing good. They're playing really good basketball. I'm torn. I'm really torn. And if you're torn, just stay away. But like on one hand, history says one thing. And it's not even like the Nuggets are playing bad, right? But like the Lakers are right there. The Lakers are playing competitive basketball. And again, we talk about the difference between the Cavs Magic and the Lakers Nuggets. Lakers have been in like almost – there's been 8 quarters played. They've been in it in almost all 8 quarters and have just barely fallen short. So to me, I would – I don't know what to do here. I really don't even know what to do here. I'm going to stay away from this game. But I think if I had to bet it, I'd go Denver just because of everything we know. But it's not a confident feeling. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if LA shows up and grinds it out and wins one. I do think that Denver is going to take at least one in LA. I don't know if it's going to be game 3. I would be pretty surprised if we go back to Denver 2-2. I would just again, like we said, over the course of 48 minutes, to me, this is still the best team in basketball. And it's obviously a lot easier to say that today after the Celtics lose to the Heat. But to me, this is still the best team in basketball. Anyways, guys, that will do it. Again, Magic. I know it's sketch, right? It is. You feel like an absolute like if you bet the Magic tomorrow and they lose, you just feel like an absolute donkey. It's like, I watched this team get blown out 2 straight games. I then proceeded to bet on them again. And they like, I get it, right? You feel like a donkey, but sometimes you've got to do some shit like that to win some bets. I don't know. We'll see where I'm at tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to get there, but I would take the Magic. I don't want to overreact to 2 games. And I know for a fact, I know that this team has a ton of heart. They play super, super hard. They were good all year at home. They were great all year at home with some great wins. They love each other. They play for each other. Their home crowd is going to be rocking. And this is as must win of a game as it can be. And on top of that, the Cavs, I know they've looked really good in these last two games. It's not like the Cavs at this point in time, and at least in my eyes, are an elite team, right? Like, it's not like they've got the Nuggets, obviously Western Conference team, but it's not like they have the Nuggets or the Celtics, right? Like, this is the Cavs, who are still a good basketball team. I picked them to win the series. I would like to think they win this game. And I like the under 199 as well. These two teams are just grinded. It is the peak grinded out. Not even peak. Peak's probably not the right word, but the epitome of a grinded out series. Knicks Sixers, probably just staying away and watching as a fan. Go Knicks. Like Joel Embiid assists just because of the attention he draws. Generally, again, only 10 potential assists per game, right? So you'd probably set it at 4.5. But it's at 5.5, but it is plus money. And then on top of that, generally his assists are really high quality looks. And in fact, I'll look at the tape tonight and see the assists, all 12 assists from the last two games, and see kind of the quality of looks and how they're coming about. Like, are they just doubles leading to wide open threes? Are there doubles and then hitting baseline? Like, well, how are these assists coming into life? And then that'll give us a better idea if we're on that. And then Lakers Nuggets, just really, really tough read for me. And on top of that, right, we're not hot right now. So it's like you kind of overthink. But ultimately, guys, go with your gut. If you like something, play it. And you can live with the results because you liked it. And that's kind of where I'm at too, even though we're 5-10. The grind continues. Stay up, guys. I love you. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great day. Have a great Thursday. Weekend's right around the corner. As usual, we'll be back at it tomorrow, hopefully after three really good games. We'll have a lot to talk about. And then after that Friday, we got another set of three really good games. Milwaukee, Indiana in Indiana, LA in Dallas, Minnesota in Phoenix. Got some fun ones, man. I love you guys. Talk soon. Peace.